Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the one and only Brunch Network, where thousands tune in weekly to listen to our hosts roll out of bed and talk all things sports and gambling. Now for the guys that help cure all your hangovers.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Sports Brunch here on this Wednesday, August 8th, 8 o'clock p.m. on the East Coast. As always, my name is Joe Caputo, joined by my co-host, Chris Malicki, and today we have a very fun show lined up, and with the cereal bracket just 12 hours away, we will get to that. But first, Chris, I need to extend my congratulations to you on the AL East title.
Is a little reverse jinx you're trying to do here?
No, you asked me last week if I thought if the Red Sox swept, if the division was over, and I said yes. So
That's true. Last night when the Red Sox were losing, Gallo asked me what I was going to do when the Yankees then caught them, because they would lose tonight, the Yankees would win, and then they would be only 8 games back. Of course, the Red Sox wound up battering the Blue Jays again in extra innings, and they're doing it again tonight. Thank you for the congratulations. I appreciate it. It was a beautiful series. And honestly, I mean, as much as I enjoyed it, I can only imagine how every Yankee fan felt, because it really had, like, just about every single disaster you could ask for in a series. I mean, you have the beatdown. You know, you get out to this lead, and then you have the beatdown on Friday where you get plastered. That was Thursday. And then Friday and Saturday, really, the offense just absolutely lifeless, not even really mustering much of an effort, and then of course the big comeback Sunday. And I'm just wondering what your thought. I mean, I know Aaron Judge will come back eventually and things will stabilize for the Yankees. They are in no means no longer a threat, but you know, as somebody who is very confident in the Yankees to start the year and who is very confident in them against Boston, who you have to say is the best team in baseball right now, how do you feel about them, especially given their performance this weekend? You know, not just how they – not just the results, but it was pretty lifeless. I mean, you know, and I've seen Red Sox play like that before, and you can tell when your team is playing like that, when it just seems like nobody has any sort of fire or spark.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that it's going to be a big deal when, you know, as the weeks go by and people are going to forget about the series once the playoffs come roll around, because – you know, once you get to the playoffs, it's going to be all about that one wild card game. And if they win it, then they're probably going to be playing the Red Sox again. So, you know, I don't think this series really matters in terms of the mentality for the Yankees. It obviously matters in terms of the standings. And you know, they're 9 games out now with, you know, 50 to go. It's almost impossible. But the Yankees are basically in the same position that they were in that last year, maybe a little bit later in the year. The writing was on the wall than it is this year, but they knew for a long time last year they were going to be playing in the wild card game, the same way they know right now probably that they're going to be playing in the wild card game, and they're probably going to have home field, and it's going to be, and my outlook is the same as it was last year. If they get by that game, I think they got a real good shot to do damage after that. I think they're better than they were last year, but right now I don't think that they have much shot to do anything the rest of this season other than just lock up that home field and go play that game again.
I like the choice of word there, damage. I think, you know, obviously as much as I enjoyed the series, I'm a realist. I know that what really matters is what happens in October. And if we get a 5-game series between these two teams and the Yankees win it, this Red Sox sweep really means next to nothing. But I was happy with the way the team performed. I think that, you know, the offense has still been a little inconsistent, and I am worried about this bullpen. You saw it last night against Toronto, but really, Kimbrel hasn't been.
You do an awful lot of complaining on Twitter for a guy that's a fan of a team that is on pace to have their best record in franchise history.
Well, I feel that now the pressure is on, and right now I think as good as the Red Sox starting rotation is, there will be a bit of negative regression, and as good as the bullpen's been, there will definitely be some regression because Kimbrel has just not been the same. Matt Barnes is not an eighth inning guy. Joe Kelly has already regressed. Tyler Thornburg, I still don't know what I'm getting out of him, and everyone else is kind of a scrub. They made no moves. I really hope they get somebody, anyone, at the deadline. And I guess you could have a starter throw him in the bullpen come playoff time. Maybe it's Evaldi, maybe it's Eduardo Rodriguez. But, you know, this starting rotation, as good as it is, it's likely not going to get you seven scoreless innings every night in the playoffs, especially when you're facing the offenses of the Yankees or the Indians or the Astros. And,
yeah,
you know,
the starters tend to not last as long in the playoffs. Hitters put up better at bat, foul off more pitches. You usually get to that 100-pitch mark in the fifth or sixth, whereas in the regular season, maybe you're getting to seventh or eighth.
Yeah, it's a bit concerning in that sense. You know, it's really more so that, you know, if the Red Sox were to lose to the Yankees in a playoff series right now or this season, I feel like it would be a bit of a disaster, because right now it looks like the Red Sox will have home field. It looks like they are the better team, and they should win. You know, theoretically, on paper, they should win. Now, that doesn't always happen. It's perfect. It's entirely possible for the Yankees to kind of snap out of their funk. It's entirely possible for the Yankees to become the better team in time. But, you know, as far as I'm concerned with the Red Sox, it's kind of World Series or bust right now. This team's so good, and I know I said it last week. They are, you know, going to be at a certain point in the next couple of years. Nothing is for certain, but it does seem a bit inevitable at some point that they will be looking up to the Yankees. And before that happens, I'd like to, you know, maybe get a title under my belt.
Yeah, it's definitely World Series or bust, which is great, actually, because really coming into the year, all the pressure's on the Yankees. So now it's completely
right,
flipped.
And that's what I'm saying.
So I mean, in that regard, it's nice, but obviously, as a Yankee fan, I'd rather be winning the division at this point. We have a caller. Let's take it now. Who do we got on the line here?
We have Lou from Jersey, and I happen to be a Yankee fan, to be honest with you.
How you doing, Lou?
All right.
Do you want to talk about today, Lou?
I don't know if I would say the division is exactly lost just yet. We got a lot of ground to make up. But, you know, we still have about 55 games to go. And with the Yankees being now a long homestand, that can give us a chance to get some significant ground, because we always play better at home than we do on the road.
Yeah, absolutely. But, Lou, I mean, 50 games, they're 9 games back. You know, even if
the
Yanks go...
The problem here is the Red Sox don't lose. They just don't lose games.
So let's say the Yanks go 40-10 over their last 50 games. I mean, which is ridiculous. Let's say 35-15 to be a little bit more realistic. They would need the Red Sox to basically play 500 ball the rest of the year to catch them. I mean, that doesn't seem realistic to me,
happen.
Lou.
Every team goes through a slump. It's got to happen. And maybe now could be the time it does happen.
All right. Well,
I do think a slump is coming at some point, but I just don't know if the slump, you know, maybe if they won Sunday and it was 7.5, but I don't know if a slump, whatever that is, when it comes, can really get to the 9 games. But you are right. It's not over until it's over. It's why I'm not.
I
got to
respect
Lou's
optimism as a Yankee fan.
Just quite yet. Well, we've seen collapses in before, both in Red Sox history and for other teams. So it's certainly not out of the question. It just, you know, it seems like quite the long shot.
Case in point, the Mets in 2007. If you recall that.
Lou's bringing up the Mets in 07 here.
Mm-hmm.
Judd, yeah, I got a Mets fan sitting right next to me. Judd, thoughts?
Oops,
sorry.
Comparing the Mets to the Red Sox. I don't
what do you say?
Judd said the Red Sox have a little bit more fortune than the Mets. So,
well, the Red Sox.
And he thinks
the Sox are
a much better team this year than the Mets were in 07, which I probably would agree with.
Yeah,
Lou, we appreciate the call, man.
All right, thanks.
I mean, I got to say, like, you know, not to come onto the air and you know, if Yankee fans were coming on and expecting something different from me in terms of optimism, you know, sorry it's not here, but I got to be realistic here. I mean, in May, I said the Yankees would win the division. I just can't say that right now. I mean, I don't know what the line is, but I would imagine the Red Sox are heavy, heavy favorites to win the East at this point.
Yeah, yeah. It seems to be close to
Chris,
a lock.
Chris, what was the bet that
we
made? I forgot what your end of the bet was. I remember what my end was.
No, I did not forget. I actually looked back at some tweets today. I saw some rather incriminating tweets, which I'm sure will be nice to bring up if and when the Red Sox do clinch. So I've got those in my back pocket. Don't you go deleting them.
I don't delete tweets. But what was the bet?
The bet was.
I remember
the Yankees
what
won,
your side was if the Yankees.
Yes,
won.
If the Yankees won the division, I would take down my Lofty and flag in my bedroom and hang up a Yankees flag or a Yankees banner for the month
Which
of October.
I think the Lafayette flag coming down was the better part of that bet, to be honest.
Yeah, it would have been tough. You know, it would have been really tough repping Kristaps, and, you know, he's going through some tough times with the ACL. I kind of need it up there. But if I won, the Red Sox won, which seems likely, Joe, what you have to do is through the month of October on every Saturday, you have to wear a Red Sox T-shirt. And I have got a ton of shirts.
All right, so you're providing it.
From.
As long as I don't have to buy it.
Yeah.
I can do that.
I've got plenty of.
What's
going to
be great about
from.
That bet, Chris, and the reason I made the bet is because once the Red Sox lose to the Yankees in the 5-game series, I will love to wear the Red Sox shirt the rest of October.
That is just. All right, well, you don't have the optimism, but you still have the confidence. I love it. Well, I think that at least the part that I will enjoy is we have to do something. I'm trying to think of October plans, and for that first round, I would have to assume we'd have to clear our schedules, clear out our seats, if you will.
The problem is
I think
that the first game of the series would be on a Saturday, so I would have to wear a Red Sox shirt during a Yankees-Red Sox game.
That's what I'm saying, yeah. That's what I'm saying. That's what really is going to kind of get me going. And, you know, I guess if the Yankees do beat the Red Sox in the playoffs, I'll always have that.
Yeah. All right. Well, one other thing I wanted to get to was Aaron Boone, because a lot of stuff going on with Aaron Boone.
Well, because I feel like, you know, players go through slumps, you know, pitchers go through rough patches. I feel like that's what happened with the Yankees this series where, you know, yeah, they didn't play well, but it doesn't mean they're never going to play well again. However, Aaron Boone did not have himself a great series, and I just wanted to take your temperature on him. And you know, he got pretty outmanaged by Alex Cora. Cora had the mistake in the Sunday game by not pulling David Price at the right time, although hindsight is 20/20. But Boone seems like maybe he's in a bit over his head. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think there's obviously two extremes here, and I'm probably somewhere in the middle, because obviously you got the people that want to fire him, and I don't know if that's necessarily.
You can't really fire him. He's, in his first year, he's going to win 100 games as manager.
Right. I mean, he's not doing a bad job this year. However, there's also the people that want to defend him till their death, like Michael Kay, for instance, that say that he had literally no other options in any of the situations that he was in, and that you really can't criticize him at all. And I don't agree with that either, because, you know, he seems like the last two games of that series. In two, you lost the first two games. These are, after losing the first two games, the next two become must wins. And so I understand that he needs to give guys rest or whatever. You wait till the White Sox series. I mean, you can't start Shane Robinson two games in a row in Fenway Park, the two biggest games of the season. I don't care what the analytics say in terms of rest. You deal with that later after the series is over. The season is now. And you treat those games like Game 7 of the World Series. And I don't care if Neil Walker needed a day off. It doesn't matter. You play him because that's life or death situation. And he messed up twice. I mean, he had two chances to get his best lineup in there, and he didn't do it in either game. So I thought that was – honestly, that was his biggest mess up of the whole weekend. I thought that – not taking CC out or taking CC out after the third inning on Thursday, I thought that was actually a good move. He had his bullpen lined up nicely. It just didn't work out. Holder pitched the worst game of his season. I thought that was fine taking CC out at that point. But the lineup decisions this weekend were really, really questionable.
Yeah, I think, you know, when you put
not to cut you off, one more. Chapman should not have been finishing that ninth inning, and I didn't watch the ninth inning. That's why this slipped my mind. But when I look back, after you walk three guys in one inning, I don't care. I don't care who it is out there. You need to have someone warming up behind Chapman. I think Chad Green was available that day. Yeah, I'm sorry. After walking three guys, you don't leave a guy in there to give up a three-run lead in the bottom of the ninth in Fenway Park, just in a must-win game. That's unacceptable.
Yeah, it was not a great series for Boone. You know, like you said about the Shane Robinson thing, this Yankee offense is so good because there are no easy outs. And I understand Aaron Judge is out. I understand Gary Sanchez is out. I understand that changes things. But I know better than, you know, not better than anyone, but I know as someone who, you know, has holes on their in their lineup, whether it's at catcher or whether it was second base at times or whether Jackie Bradley was cold, when you have an automatic out in there, it is a killer. You know, it's like you have a pitcher batting, and that's kind of what Shane Robinson was. And he somehow, you know, he had that walk with the bunt, which was, as Tyler Flowers goes deep, and we are 5-1 Braves here. This is something.
See, I didn't see that yet. Chris is telling me Tyler Flowers is about to hit a home run here, Judd.
I'm sorry. Judd, better if you can. Speaking of the model, doing pretty well right now.
Huge day today.
Maybe we'll have a pick for you at the end of the show. But, so I think, you know, it said a lot about Boone of what he did. And it is interesting. A lot of people say, or some of the haters of Boone have said, you know, if Aaron Boone, who really did not have an eventful Yankee career aside from the one home run that he hit in the ALCS, if he doesn't hit that home run, is he the Yankees manager right now? And, you know, is it maybe was he put in there when he, you know, wasn't quite ready for the job? Maybe he'll be a good manager eventually, but just right yet. I mean, Alex Cora, he learned from the World Series Astros. He won a World Series as an assistant coach. You know, so I think that was part of the reason why Cora was there. But for Boone, I don't know. It seemed this is a telling series for him. Obviously, you can't crucify the guy just yet. He's going to win 100 games. And we saw what happened with Gabe Kapler where, you know, he kind of turned things around and Philly looks pretty good. So, but I have no problem with Aaron Boone struggling. It's a nice thing to see after what he's done in my life in the past.
I'm not done with him yet. It's you gotta learn from this. And obviously he does have limited options, but he didn't have no options. He could have kept Robinson out those two games and he didn't. So, and I think Stanton was dealing with some injury wise too, but Stanton was, you know, you could have played Neil Walker in right field. So anyway, I you gotta play this out a little bit longer with Boone. And I don't necessarily agree with the people that want him, you know, gone after this year or gone now. It's a little bit rash. But, you know, managers – you're not going to agree with all managers' decisions, but I think he needs to clean things up by playoff time. Although the decisions will be easier come playoff time, assuming Judge and Sanchez are back. So that shouldn't be as much of an issue.
All right, are we ready, Joe?
Yeah, let's get into a little Brunch Madness here, Chris.
All right, so the Brunch Madness bracket has been released. As you all should know, you're going to have to fill out your bracket. You can still fill out tomorrow, but the deadline is tomorrow. Matchups begin on Friday, and we've got some good ones.
Matchups begin tomorrow, sir.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, well, I think there's some people who didn't know that. I'm going to have to
Network tweeted out that today is the last day.
Does it lock at midnight to set the bracket?
I believe it'll. I actually think it might be set to lock tomorrow at midnight. In which case, people might be okay still filling it out tomorrow.
Okay, I'll try to remind some people to fill out the brackets. But for everyone listening live, and we'll send out a reminder afterwards, make sure you fill out those brackets. We've got, I think, 40 so far. We're looking to get a whole lot more. And you can win a free Brunch T-shirt. You can vote on Instagram. You can vote on Twitter. It's going to be a lot of fun, as it always is. And this is maybe the most wide-open Brunch Madness we've ever had. So, Joe, let's get into it. Where do you want to start? Should we start in the Cinnamon Toast Crunch region, where Cinnamon Toast Crunch seems to be the favorite at this point?
Well, yeah, I think we should start by saying that, you know, there's a pretty much a – I think there's a clear-cut three right now that are – that are kind of head and shoulders above the rest of the field, and that is Cinnamon Toast Crunch, Reese's Puffs, and Frosted Flakes. I think those three seem like they are kind of in control of the early brackets that have come in. Also, Lucky
Charms. Which
is
interesting because it's a 1, a 2, and a 3 seed.
Right. And Frosted Flakes is the interesting one to me because I wasn't expecting that, but we'll see how that plays out because, again, the brackets don't necessarily indicate what's going to happen in the tournament. We saw in the TV show bracket there was some different stuff that happened in the tournament. Lucky Charms
right.
is getting a lot of love right now to go to the Final Four. However,
I think Lucky
they are
Charms
not,
is an easy bracket.
They're not getting a lot of love to go to the final or win. So their bracket might be a little easier than most. Not a lot of love for Honey Bunches of Oats, which I'm surprised at because I actually picked
I think
them
you'll get a
to win
decent
my
amount.
Bracket.
I think you'll get a decent amount for Honey Bunches of Oats. I think Lucky Charms and Honey Bunches of Oats seem to be on a collision course for an Elite Eight matchup for a trip to the Final Four. There's just
I don't
not
know
much
about
else
that,
in
though,
here.
Because well, let's start in that region then. Captain
okay, we'll
Crunch
start.
Is
yeah, we'll
getting
start
a lot
there.
More a lot more love than I thought they were going to get.
You know, honestly though, the reason why Crunch Berries are a 1 seed and Captain Crunch is a 3 seed is because the Crunch pieces on their own, they're a little overrated.
Is it,
you know, I don't think
is
they're
it
that
possible
great.
That people are just seeing Captain Crunch and assuming it's the ones with the berries, and then they're seeing Crunch
well,
Berries
it's possible,
and they're like, I don't know what this is.
It's definitely possible. I think once the voting starts, then they're going to see everything.
What,
I think Captain
yeah, exactly,
Crunch
because once the voting starts on Instagram, you see the actual picture of the box. So I think Crunch Berries might get more love once the voting comes around.
Yep. Joe, another home run for the Braves. Just to give you a quick update, is another 2-run shot.
Judd, home run.
Ronald Acuna,
no.
I believe. Judd doesn't want to see it anymore. Judd says stop. Did he bet that? I was one. I forgot.
Yeah,
to tell
yeah,
that.
Yeah. He actually went over to Mount
okay,
Park right before he came over, and he placed all these bets.
Unbelievable. All right. So yeah. So the Lucky Charms region is an interesting one because I do think that they are the favorites there. What do you think about the kicks, berry kicks combination? I think
that's a great one to bring up because they're getting absolutely no love in anyone's bracket.
Yeah.
And I really thought berry kicks would get some love here because as a child, berry kicks was one of my favorite cereals, and I don't think I've seen them in like anyone's Elite Eight. And I know that has something to do with the fact that they have to go through Lucky Charms. But, you know, I thought berry kicks are good. I don't know. It doesn't seem like either the kicks or the berry kicks are getting much love at all.
This seems to be one of your classic, like, 4-5 pods where, like, it's a little underwhelming. Banana Nut Crunch, I think, is a 13 seed, is a bit of a sleeper that I think a lot of people are going to pick to knock off maybe berry kicks. But it still seems more than likely that a Kix will advance into the Sweet 16 and then kind of get their doors blown off by Lucky Charms.
Right.
So not a ton in that pod. Then we've got, the Cocoa Pebbles Alphabits matchup, which the winner would face Captain Crunch if they're able to take over Honey Smacks. But, the Cocoa Pebbles, it's going to be hard for Cocoa Pebbles because not only are they a 6 seed and historically seeds that low haven't performed that well in Brunch Madness, but you've also got the Cocoa Krispies, which is in a different region. Even though they don't have to play each other or wouldn't have to until the Final Four, I'm just not really sure, how well a cereal like that is going to fare when there is pretty much a copycat of it waiting in a different region.
What do you think is better, Cocoa Pebbles or Cocoa Krispies?
I honestly don't know if I can answer. I'm going to say Cocoa Krispies. I feel like the Krispies are a little bigger.
I think like the Pebbles
better. Yeah, see, that's the thing. Like, who the fuck knows? But,
I don't think Gatos in his article said that he thinks Alphabits is a sleeper here.
Yeah,
I
don't know because – so I think Alphabits is kind of like your knockoff Lucky Charms, and some people may vote for it for that reason. But I was looking
at – Does Alphabits have marshmallows?
I think they do, but I was looking at the – I was doing some research on the cereals, and, I remember before when we were doing the seeding, you were like, yeah, Alphabits sucks. And I, the more I looked at it, I was like, yeah, they kind of do suck. So I think Coco Pebbles is going to be okay here. The Oreos is going to be an interesting one because
yeah, they're getting
I think
some love
they,
in the brackets too.
Oreos Golden Grahams is a hell of a first round matchup, just a mm-hmm. just a top notch one. And I think Oreos, I think they have a slight edge in my opinion, but you know
really?
The committee.
I don't think so.
The committee really shafting Golden Grahams. Having to get through Oreos and then Honey Bunches to get to the Sweet 16. It's just a tough road for a 7 seed.
I agree, and I actually heard some people talking about how good Golden Grahams are. I agree. You look
Golden
at some
Grahams
of the 6
are very
seeds
good.
And even the 5 seeds. You know, you could make the argument Golden Grahams should be up higher. I remember in the initial seeding process, Golden Grahams was even lower than this, and they moved all the way up to 7. So you know, sometimes you have a rough regular season and it's tough for you to, you know, make things up down the stretch. And Golden Grahams had a good conference tournament, but they were only able to get up to the 7 line. Honey Bunches of Oats is definitely in trouble here. And it's something that I did not expect. I thought that people liked Honey Bunches of Oats. And from what I'm seeing, it looks like they don't. And I don't know... I think right now they would be an underdog to get to the Elite Eight even as a 2 seed.
Wow, that's interesting. I still think they're the favorite to get to the Elite Eight. Any more cereals to touch on in this round? Lauren's Cracklin' Oat Brand has a matchup against Lucky Charms. Joe, do they have any shot?
Cracklin' Oat Brand is no good. I think that Cracklin' Oat Brand is the worst. Grape Nuts is worse, but Cracklin' Oat Brand is probably. You still there, Chris?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm listening.
Okay, Cracklin' Oat Brand is probably second worst to Grape Nuts in the whole bracket.
Yeah, well, Lauren's not going to want to hear that, but I'm afraid you might be right.
Too much.
All right, so that should do it for that region. Who do you have coming out of here? You have Honey Bunches of Oats,
well,
right?
Well, I mean, you know, this is how I make my bracket. I pick my bracket before I see everyone else's bracket. Because if I were to remake my bracket now, I'd have Lucky Charms coming out of here or Captain Crunch. But, I mean, personally, in my bracket, I have Honey Bunches of Oats coming out of here.
Well, I like to pick what I think is going to happen what my personal preference, because it's much more sweeter if you win when it's like, oh, I was right all along. My taste, my preference was right all along, and that's how it happened with the candy bracket, I believe. So.
So you didn't win the candy bracket though, did you? Or oh yeah,
yeah,
you did.
I did. Remember we didn't have as many entries, but you and
were
one too. I remember.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
Oh man!
All right, well,
amazing.
I actually
tell Judd to watch his catch coming. It's something.
We turned on the Royals Cubs game.
That's too bad.
I'm sorry. All right, let's move over to the Cinnamon Toast Crunch bracket. This is the region that is getting the most love for the champ because Cinnamon Toast Crunch, it seems like, is the odds-on favorite to win this whole thing. However, it's interesting because although Cinnamon Toast Crunch is probably the number one overall seed, it looks like they are matched up with the toughest 2 seed, or at least one of the two toughest 2 seeds. Decent amount of love for Fruity Pebbles as well here. No love at all, really, for any other cereal in this entire region. It's really Cinnamon Toast Crunch, Fruity Pebbles, and then a couple stragglers in there. Maybe a Cookie Crisp or a Rice Krispies here and there, but really those top two are taking home most of the brackets.
I think Trix is a shot. You know, I think Trix is the team that no one's really talking about. They're the 3 seed here.
The problem
I think
is
they could be
Trix went to the balls. If they would have stayed with the fruit shapes, they would have had a better shot. I'm not
but do you
kidding.
Think everyone's going to remember that? Do you think everyone's going to remember that?
I like Trix way better when they were fruit shaped. I don't like Trix as much anymore, and now I switched over to Fruity Pebbles. This is the reason why Fruity Pebbles got the 2 seed over Trix, because remember those two were that was the last two spot was between those two cereals. A little insight into
the
selection committee right now.
They were neck and neck. Yeah, I still think Trix is a shot. Cookie Crisp is one of those cereals, I think, that is maybe not – maybe Lucky Charms is a bad comparison, but there are some cereals out there that are just, like, a little too, like, sugary, desserty that it may kind of come back to bite them. And I don't really think –
yeah, I like Cookie Crisp, too, which is a shame, though.
I do too. And they don't have a cakewalk against Honey Graham O's, but I would be surprised if they didn't make it to that Sweet 16 against Cinnamon Toast Crunch. Although,
yeah, I gotta tell you something.
You think Rice Krispies has any
That's
shot?
The thing. Rice Krispies, I think – Rice Krispies suck. And I think Honey Nut Chex – if it was up to me, Honey Nut Chex would beat Rice Krispies. I think Honey Nut Chex is probably – you know, I think they're one of the better cereals in this region. However, I think this region is really strong because I look at S'mores at 7. I love S'mores.
Yeah.
I like Life. I like Honey Nut Chex at the 12. Kashi Golden Crunch is the best 14 we have in here. It's actually a pretty strong region.
Yeah.
However, it's kind of being dwarfed by the two at the top.
Special K is not bad for a 10.
And Special K has actually gotten a little bit of love.
It'll be interesting to see how the people vote based on, you know, I think there are people who obviously are, a lot of people are going to vote just based on taste and how good some of these cereals are. You're going to get a good amount of people, I think, and I know you'll agree with this because you're probably one of them, who's going to vote with health in mind. And that could give, you know, maybe a Special K a bit of a leg up in a certain matchup.
I'm not going to vote with health in mind, to be honest.
Oh, you're not. Wow.
How many of these cereals could you actually consider healthy? I mean,
yeah, I guess so.
There might be three.
Who's your mom pick for the bracket? I'm wondering because I know she's, yeah, and who did Grace
pick? My mom
pick
actually
too?
My mom did not pick with health in mind. I don't believe. I think
wow.
that she.
It all
hold
comes
on,
out.
Gonna...
The Budo family is a sham. They're all they're all a bunch
is,
of fakers,
I mean,
folks.
The thing is, when you're eating these cereals, you're not trying to be healthy. My mom picked Honey Nut Cheerios to win it all, and
what did my mom? Look at that.
Really? And then Grace
yeah,
picked
our mom.
She picked Frosted Mini Wheats to win it all, which I'm in.
Frosted
on,
Mini Wheats, another.
We have the same
another one,
actually.
I think. There's some controversy, I think, in Frosted Mini Wheats world.
There is some controversy. Let's go down to Frosted Mini Wheats right now, actually.
All right. Is there any more? Oh, one more I actually want to talk about, which I'm surprised we didn't even touch on. Rice Krispie Treats as an 11 seed. Now,
yeah,
I'm not sure, you know. They don't have exactly the same kind of brand. Like, I don't think everyone's going to totally understand what they are. But if you gave everyone a taste of all these cereals, I think Rice Krispie Treats would be a true Cinderella with a chance to make some moves.
I agree. I think the lack of a – and it's funny because they do have a brand name, but it's still a lack
right,
of recognition. I personally have never had Rice Krispie Treats cereal. Some people may think even that they've been mistakenly placed in the bracket and that they're actually a treat. We may have some people on Twitter that argue is a Rice Krispie Treat a treat or a cereal. To them, I
then
say,
we get back to the whole Gushers debate.
Do your research.
You know how that one went.
But, yeah, I think that you're probably right that they're good. I'm not familiar with them. So, you know, I can't speak on them, really. I don't think that they're going to – I think at least maybe they beat Cocoa Krispies. I don't even know if they do. They're probably a one and done here.
Yeah, I think they've a shot against Cocoa Krispies, but after that, you know, you get tricks. It's going to be tough. I think that they are kind of that little school that, you know, is maybe has some potential, but they're like probably a popular sleeper that once they get to the dance, they may underwhelm a bit when they go up against some of the heavy hitters.
Yeah. All right. If you want to call in 818-688-6668, we got two regions to go here to break down. We'll go down now to the Frosted Mini Wheats region. And Chris, I saw a fan on Twitter saying Crave is a sleeper to win this whole thing. Do you agree with that analysis?
Crave is good. I actually really like Crave. It's one of, I mean, it's another, again, it's a newerish cereal, but it is a good
Crave.
It's a tough spot for them, but you know, I don't know. I could see it. I think Frosted Mini Wheats, you know, I've heard some clamor that they were a bit underseeded or overseeded, excuse me. And
really?
So I don't know if that – yeah, I think that there's a lot of people who wanted Reese's Puffs higher. And
Chris thinks
Mini-Wheat.
That Frosted Mini-Wheats are – or no, he doesn't think. He's saying some people think Frosted Mini-Wheats overseeded, shouldn't be a one seed. Judd, your thoughts?
Good cereal definitely should not be a one.
Should not be a one, he said. Three.
Wow, Judd says should not be a one. Well, I think they have a lot of competition in this bracket, especially at the top. I mean, Honey Nut Cheerios is a two is deadly. Frosted Flakes is a three is just, you know,
Frosted Flakes is getting a ton of love in the bracket.
And then
as well.
You go down the line, Cocoa Puffs at four, Honeycomb at five, Honeycomb who may not even make it because I think the
Waffle
sleeper here
is
Waffle
getting
Crisp.
A lot of love.
Waffle Crisp is phenomenal.
Similar cereal
got
to Honeycomb, actually.
You've got Cinnamon Life at six. And then, of course, the Cinnabon cereal, who is the only Twitter account that has gotten involved in the Brunch Madness bracket so far and definitely has a, you know, tasty cereal if you just look at it on paper because it's fucking Cinnabon. This region is – this might be the toughest region.
Yeah, this is actually
– I think
this is a very strong
region.
I would probably agree with you there because you're looking at –
Well, we'll see what happens when we get to the Crunch Berries region because that one has some moves here too. But
I think this is either the
best region or the second best.
Yeah, I think that this one is probably the strongest because you have real Final Four potential from at least five of these cereals. And you know that's going all the way down to like Count Chocula Cinnabon. That is a phenomenal first round matchup. And then Cinnamon Life is terrible draw, but one of my favorite cereals. Because, now they're probably going to lose to Frosted Flakes, but you're right. I mean, Waffle Crisp is probably
Gorilla Munch is underrated.
12.
Gorilla Munch is a good cereal that no one knows about.
Yeah.
Honey Nut Clusters sounds like it should be good as a 15.
Other than Crispix, there's no jokes in this region.
And honestly, a lot of people may not know it, and they probably will lose first round, but at one point in time, Crisp was like the cereal to have. You know, it was the most popular cereal, I think, of the 80s.
Well, the 80s had other problems, and this probably was just one of many.
That's true. This is a hell of a region. What do you think is the best first round matchup? And then
I think it's Count Chocula Cinnabon is the best.
See, I actually
Honeycomb Waffle Crisp is right there.
That's my favorite matchup, and I think the Count is in a bit over his head here with the Cinnabons. I don't know if he's really got a shot. Passione was clamoring for Wheaties earlier to me today. He didn't know what a crave was, so I think Wheaties is probably going to get bounced rather quickly.
Passione belongs in the 80s, I think, maybe.
Yeah, I think so. I think he'd be a big Crisp fan, but this is a good region, and I honestly think – I mean, if you were setting betting odds at, who would win the region, between the top three, I have no idea who's the favorite. How would you rank that top three? Because I think they are all just about even.
Yeah, I think I'd agree with you. I would probably say, and again, this is based on what I've seen from the brackets, because Frosted Flakes has been picked to go to 16 Final Fours out of the 35 brackets that I tallied, so about half of them have picked Frosted Flakes. I would say Frosted Flakes probably has the slightest edge over the other two, and then Honey Bunches of Oats, Mini Wheats, I would probably put equal to each other. I don't think there's an edge either way there.
Yeah, I'm a little torn. I actually think Mini Wheats would be the three for me here. Gallo made a good point. We were talking about the bracket last night. He said that Frosted Flakes, the good thing about Frosted Flakes is it really is one of those cereals where you just eat bowl after bowl after bowl, and you really don't get sick of it. It's a pretty great cereal, and I kind of forgot that when we were going through the seeding. I think they're neck and neck. I personally would take Honey Nut Cheerios a hair better. I kind of grew up on it more than Frosted Flakes, but Frosted Flakes, they are.
I'm out on Honey Nut Cheerios. I'm sorry.
Really?
I mean, I'm good with them being a two seed because they're, they're classic and everything. They're solid.
Good, though.
But I think they're like the fifth or sixth best cereal at best in this region. I would pick at least five cereals over them.
I don't know. I mean, they're a rock solid option. They really are.
Frosted Mini Wheats.
I like
Cocoa Puffs, Waffle Crisp, Frosted Flakes, Cinnamon Life, Cinnabon. I would pick all of them over Honey Nut Cheerios.
How many times have you had Cinnabon cereal?
What does it matter how many times? As long as I had it once, I could pick.
Well, you have no idea how it tastes. So how could
I've
possibly
had it
pick
once.
It to be worse than
so
Honey Nut?
I do
Nuts.
Know
you had,
how it
you've
tastes.
Had it once. You've had it once.
Yes, I've had it once.
When was this? Could you tell me the time?
Probably a really long time ago, to be honest.
Oh, really long time ago, he says. Okay.
Well, when's the last time I had Honey Nut Cheerios? Also a really long time ago.
Well, I'm sure you've had it more times, though.
I have, but that's just because it's more accessible.
Okay, Joe. Well, I think that this is the reason.
Frosted Mini Wheats is far and away the best in this region, though, in my opinion. That's who I have winning.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that. I would say I'm going to take Waffle Crisp, sneaky Sweet 16 pick. And,
yeah, it's not
you know,
bad.
Waffle
Crisp is really good.
I think I actually have to change my bracket. I think I had Honeycomb originally. I have to switch that. But, you know, Waffle Crisp, they can give Mini Wheats a run. I know you don't want to hear that, Joe, but they can give them a run.
If Mini Wheats was going to lose, Waffle Crisp wouldn't be a bad cereal to lose to. I mean, I really like them as a 12. They're strong.
Definitely strong. All right, so we've got that region wrapped up. I think Gatos named all the regions with actual geographical regions like the NCAA tournament.
Oh, well, they,
I can't remember.
They are labeled like that
here,
in the on the Twitter bracket.
Okay.
Let me pull that up real quick. I think the bottom left is the West.
I actually thought that Gatos just came up with it on his own, which I thought would have been kind of great. That's right.
I think it was the West.
Can't give him that raise now anymore. Sorry, Gatos.
No. All right, let's go down to the final region, which is the Crunch Berries region, which we're now saying may be a little bit it may not be – it may be misrepresented right now by the brackets that are being submitted because people are undervaluing Crunch Berries. Do you think that Crunch Berries – I don't think there's any way – there's no way that you could back up that they're the favorite in this region. I think Reese's Puffs is.
I don't think so.
Is Crunch Berries number two?
Yeah, I think they're number two, but there's a lot here, Joe. I mean, you have Fruit Loops at three, which is, you know, not the most exciting cereal, but it gets the job done. You have what I think is a very good – cereal and Apple Jacks. I actually have Apple Jacks going very far. Right now, I think I might edit my bracket a bit, but I have Apple Jacks going to the finals right now. I'm a big Apple Jacks guy. And then I think French Toast Crunch as a 7 is not bad. I mean, you've got Oops All Berries, the Crunch Berries counterparties in the region. And They would face the Crunch Berries in a second round matchup if they could beat
Frosted Cheerios. Frosted Cheerios is by far the most supported 8 or 9 in this whole bracket right now. They are getting so much love.
You also have Apple Cinnamon Cheerios against Raisin Bran. I know Raisin Bran may not get a ton of love by some people, but I'm a big Raisin Bran guy, and I think Apple Cinnamon Cheerios, obviously, they get the job done too. And, Joe, Cheerios versus Team Cheerios is
Chris,
the, OC
the best
Cheerios
first matchup in the whole bracket.
Are they going to get run out of the gym, Cheerios?
Listen, I thought yes, because if you like Cheerios, then
Team Cheerios
okay, fine.
Has Cheerios
Team
in it.
Cheerios has Cheerios in it. So I think this might be another one of those things where people don't know what Team Cheerios is, but once they see the picture of it on Instagram, they say, why would I pick Cheerios when I could have Team Cheerios, which combines Cheerios, Frosted Cheerios, and Honey Nut Cheerios? Team Cheerios is, in my opinion, stronger than all the other Cheerios in this whole bracket because they incorporate all of them other than the Apple Cinnamon. I really like Team Cheerios in this pod. I think once people see the picture of the box on Instagram, I know you're saying Apple Jacks. I picked Team Cheerios to go to the Elite Eight.
Wow, that is bold. Again, I think Team Cheerios may have a bit of a Rice Krispie Treats dilemma where, you know, just the word out on them is not quite there. And there's a lot of people
who may
blindly vote against them like the zombies that some people sometimes are. But another another cereal that may have got a little bit shafted here. Special K Red Berries, not only getting the 15, but also having to face Reese's Puff first round, that's tough. And I don't know if they quite deserve that. You know, that's it seemed like there was someone in the committee out to get them, maybe.
I can't really speak to that because, you know, that's not at liberty to say. I'm on the committee, but I mean, I'm not at liberty to say who was against them. But you may be onto something there.
And then finally, I guess the last point I'll make is, you know, I was down on Count Chocula before. Their sister cereals, Frankenberry and Boo Berry, literally no one is talking about them. Just no one. I would be surprised.
I saw Boo Berry got a little bit of love in a couple of the brackets. They've been the most of the three. They've been probably getting the most love.
Yeah, I don't think Frankenberry has much of a shot against the Fruit Loops.
No, I don't think so either. I think Apple Jacks, I think you're right about Apple Jacks. They're pretty well respected, which I'm actually surprised about because, in my opinion, they're pretty plain. I think that it's pretty clear that Reese's Puffs is kind of the cereal to beat here. And an interesting matchup, probably the most interesting, well, actually, this region, in my opinion, has the most amount of good first round matchups. Between the 8-9 is great, the 5-12 is great, the 6-11 is great, and the 7-10 is great. French Toast Crunch and Corn Pops, who's going to win that? I mean, do people like Corn Pops? Do enough people like Corn Pops? Who likes them?
That's going to be a good one. Yeah, there are a lot of good matchups here in this one. Absolutely. I think 1 through 12 is just kind of a murderer's row of cereals. So, you know, I think as we often see in Brunch Madness, the first round matchups, aside from a few, are not as, you know, maybe not as exciting, maybe not as close as we get later on in the bracket. That's when we'll see, you know, which cereals are really showing up to play. So I'm excited to get it going. You know, I remember, you know, when we've done the Brunch Madness, I remember it very fondly of how, you know, it's just always a good time. It's always a good time for everyone. It's a good time running it. It's a good time for everyone voting. There's a lot of conversation about it. Everybody talks about it. I mean, I have a beer pong tournament I'm going to on Saturday. I'm not sure how many people will be in the bracket, but I know Mark Campanelli will be there, and he will absolutely be talking to me about the bracket. He's a big Brunch Madness fan. Joe, I don't know if you heard, Shane Robinson just had an RBI single.
Wow, would you look at that. How is he playing again? I mean,
what a night. What a night.
All right.
So, before we go, would you like to give me your final four, and then should we just pick the final four and then the championship, what we think?
Yeah, sure. So I have Honey Bunches of Oats. I have Cinnamon Toast Crunch. I have Frosted Mini Wheats, and I have Reese's Puffs, and then I have Honey Bunches of Oats winning it all.
All right. Well, I have Cinnamon Toast Crunch. That's the only one I have that's the same as yours. I have Lucky Charms. I have Apple Jacks, and then I have Honey Nut Cheerios, and I think Cinnamon Toast Crunch wins it all. As I said earlier, they seem to be the favorite, and not just saying that because I like them, but I believe they've gotten the most championship picks in the bracket so far that we've received.
Yeah. So just to run down that a little bit more before we go here, give you some of the stats, and you could comment on any of these as we go here. But the most final four appearances without winning a title, you have four brackets that picked Cocoa Puffs and four that picked Fruit Loops to get to the final four. None of those brackets had those two cereals winning. Most Elite Eights without winning is Apple Jacks. 16 brackets have Apple Jacks in the Elite Eight, but none of them picked Apple Jacks to win at all. As you said, Cinnamon Toast Crunch is the leader with 9 brackets picked to win at all, followed by Reese's Puffs, Frosted Flakes, and Lucky Charms. Those top four could very easily be your final four. Come early September, so be on the lookout for those four. And then your lowest seed
to get a championship pick is Rice Krispie Treats. 11 seed got one bracket that picked them to win it all.
Joe, I just received a live tweet on the show from Nicole Pelican. She tweets, "I'm about three rooms away from Chris Malicki, and I hear him getting heated, yelling about the cereal bracket on the brunch pod. Hashtag Lego, hashtag Captain makes it happen." And she tagged the Real Captain Crunch Twitter account. So,
you know,
if you're looking for somebody.
You've yelled?
You know, I think I just, you know, we get a little passionate with these cereals. I don't know if I've exactly yelled, but, you know, I think that we talk loudly because we are passionate about these things.
Well, I'm in on the publicity that it's creating, so keep yelling.
Just a quick note, too. We currently have 41 brackets in. However, some of them have not been completely filled out. So I'm gonna announce it so you guys can, you know, do your homework. Kevin Fitzpatrick, who, you know, he had a nice run in the last Brunch Madness. Kevin, your bracket has not been finished. Joe, your mom's bracket, not finished.
Yeah.
Julia, who I'm assuming is Vin's Jules, cuz, tell Jules to fill out her bracket. And then finally, Steve Sternick has not filled out.
Who
I
actually met,
friend, right?
For the first time last week.
Wow.
He was pumped about it, and he hasn't filled it out yet. So I'll have to send him
out.
You've
got to fill
PSA.
It out. But for those of you who have yet to fill it out at all, you should also be filling it out because this is your last call. Like we said, the matchup starts tomorrow. And this is going to be a good one. This is going to be one you don't want to be left out in the cold for. I do feel like, you know, with TV shows, there may have been some instances where people didn't quite get into some of the matchups because, you know, you can kind of picture yourself liking the taste of something easier than liking a certain TV show. I think everyone's going to be all over this bracket from start to finish.
I agree because, you know, you probably had at least one of the series that's going to be a good matchup. Probably have both. Once we get past the first round. So I'm expecting some big turnouts with the votes. And, you know, make sure you spread the word because the more votes, the more accurate the bracket becomes.
Exactly. Let's get it going, people.
All right, so that'll do it for the Sports Brunch here on this Wednesday, August 8th. Thanks so much for tuning in. As always, follow us on Twitter at The Brunch Pod and on Instagram at The Brunch Network. Those are going to be the two accounts where the voting will be happening, and be sure to vote on both. You could absolutely vote on both platforms. Your vote will be counted twice, so each of those will work for a vote. Also, like us on Facebook at The Brunch Network. For Chris Balecki, I am Joe Caputo. Thanks so much for listening this week, and we will be back with our Brunch Madness 3 update once again next week. Have a great weekend, everyone.